Maybe next subject.
I'm just trying my phone because I know how to use it.
One second, gentlemen. Okay, let's get started one way or the other, at least for us. We're on Shire Bays, Parakeet, welcome back. I think we're getting into something very fundamental and yesodistic here, which is the neshama. I'm going to learn about the neshama. What is the neshama? Anybody know already?
What's the password? So we don't go home. Password for the Wi-Fi?
3318.
What?
Degree.
The word degree.
So the Nefesh HaChaim says, Amnam lahavin ikare shel inyan ha-tosefes v'ribui bracha b'ha'ilamos ha'yidei ma'aseh ha'adam. What we're trying to understand here is a loaded sentence, is tosefes v'ribui bracha b'ha'ilamos ha'yidei ma'aseh ha'adam. How there can be advantages and ribui expansion of bracha b'ha'ilamos. Ilamos is all the ilamos, right? We live in the world of Asiya. But there's the world of Atzilus, Bria, Yetzirah, Asiya, there's all kinds of stuff going on. So in all those worlds, man, particularly Jew, has a hashpa and can create a ribui in those haylamais. Lahavin ikare shel inyan ha-tosefes v'ribui bracha b'haylamais ha-yidei ma'aseh ha-adam v'mahus ha-inyan tzarech haylamais l'zeh, and why it makes a difference what we're doing to the whole world. To put that in a very simple language that we can understand, somehow or another, what we do has a kesher to the entire universe and in the entire spiritual universe also. Everything we do, everything we think, achshava, dibur, maisa, everything we say, somehow or another affects the entire world. What does it mean to affect the entire world? It means to say that again, in simple language, that whether there are winds of war in the world or whether there's peace in the world, whether there's gullus, whether there's geula, whether there's health, whether there's illness, all of these are certain things that are going on in the world that's all controlled in a very, very spiritual way by the person, ma'aseh ha'adam, by a person. So we have to understand our purpose here is to be able to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us to be able to be mashpia on all of the olamos elyonim, including the one we live in. We make a difference. V'hinei Chazal Amru, and I want to look at he doesn't bring the whole Gemara, so let's just look at the whole very famous Gemara. The Gemara says, Brachas Daf Yud, Gemara says as follows, Hani chamishe barchi nafshe keneged mi amaran David. David in the barchi nafshi that we say on Rosh Chodesh, in the barchi nafshi mizmor, he says barchi nafshi five times. Barchi nafshi es Hashem. So let's get simple chat. What does barchi nafshi mean? What does the words mean? Barchi nafshi. Somebody? Barchi nafshi.
May my soul bless Hashem.
May my soul bless Hashem. Baruchi Nafshi. Yeah?
Command.
What is it? A command? He's talking to his nefesh. Baruchi Nafshi Es Hashem. I don't know this word Baruchi. I don't think it comes up anywhere else in the Torah. Does it? Huh? Yeah. Have you ever heard the word Baruchi? So he says it five times. Baruch Hinafshi is Hashem. Baruch Hinafshi is Hashem. David Amal. So Lay Amran El Keneged Hakadosh Baruch Hu Keneged Neshama. Baruch Hinafshi is Hashem. Somehow a connection between my nefesh which is, he's saying, the Gemara is saying, is my neshama and a kodesh baruch hu, like a connector, like this thing here. Like, in other words, l'havdil. Like, there's something that connects to the higher, whatever's going on in this room here. So there's the neshama is a connector to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's five comparisons between the neshama and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I went through this Gemara many times and I never stopped to think about it, so I just want to stop to think about it for a second. There was the David HaMelech and the Gemara here is comparing our neshama to Hashem.
Isn't it the Nefesh?
Keneged, I'm reading the Gemara. Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Keneged HaNeshama. Nefesh can mean a lot of things. In this case, the Gemara says it means the neshama.
The five parts of the neshama?
No. Five comparisons between the neshama
and Hashem.
Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here they go. The Nefesh HaChayim just brings one or two of them. Here's the Gemara. Ba HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Molei Kol HaOlam. Hashem is everywhere. Af neshama, Molei Kol HaGuf. You see, you said a minute ago, my neshama blesses Hashem. So somehow, that's Hashem. And this is by neshama. Love Dafka. This is by neshama. This is by neshama. Bleya kol aguf. It fills the entire goof. Ma kodesh baruch hu roya ve'enoy nira. Kodesh baruch hu can see, but he cannot be seen. You can see the acts of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we can't see Hashem. Af neshama roya ve'eino niris. Neshama can see, but it can't be seen. Can't see a neshama. Ma Kodesh Baruch Hu zana eskol ha'olam kulay. Af neshama zana eskol haguf. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives sustenance to the entire world, so the neshama gives sustenance to the guf. Ma Kodesh Baruch Hu Tahar, Af Neshama Tahira. So we say, Elikai Neshama Shinosato Bi Tahirahi. Ata Varasa, Bria, Ata Yitzarta, Yitzira, Ata Nefachta Bi. But the thing with that little tefillah is, the people say, like it's an existential thing, question, you know, like, I am my neshama. You know, what's the real you? My neshama is the real me. That's wrong. Because Elikai neshama shenosato bi. Mashma, that there's a bi before there's a neshama. Important. So what's the bi, and what is the added value of the neshama that changes the bi into something else? Kilu, I mean, if I'm to understand this correctly, Kilu, there can be a person without a neshama. I don't think there could be a world without Hashem. It's not something that anybody can think about. It's not possible to think about. But there can be. Elikai neshama shenosato bi tahiri. So what is that? Just to understand it. Like the Gemara says that Rishoyim b'chayehem nikroim mesim. So a Rasha is a mes even while he's alive. And Tzadik is a chai even after he's dead. So this is something which is not true, right? I mean, what do you mean a Rasha is a mace when he's alive? He's walking, he's talking, he's doing business, he's killing people, he's making money, doing all kinds of things. What makes him dead? He's alive. He gets up. He goes to the gym. He's running marathons. But he's a Rasha. The Gemara says on him, "Rishayim, afilu b'chayim nikrayim mesim." So says the Marsha. There's no other pshat of this. Of course, he's alive, the bee is alive, but the neshama shaboy is not alive. A person can come into a situation where they, I don't know if they kill the neshama, but they completely separate the neshama from their goof. And Mabela, in that regard, he's considered a base. Can be considered a base.
A dead man walking.
The Walking Dead.
Dead Man Walking. That's what they say about somebody going to the electric chair. Dead Man Walking.
Right. But a tavra tavra. He's gone. Yeah. I presume he's a Russian. He's going to the electric chair.
Dead Man Walking.
Yeah.
Isn't the figure of speech that we say, like, you know, the Shekhinah came down and filled in a certain place, right? So that place existed already, right? But the Shekhinah comes down, but the Iker is the Shekhinah, even though it's coming to a place.
Okay.
So I can say, you know, my neshama came into me, I'm identifying with me, even though the neshama is the real me. That's a figure of speech, because that's what we're identifying with from day to day. We're more in touch with the goof than the neshama.
Okay.
So that's me.
The thing is like this. Here's what I think. And I just, this is my introduction to Parakeh. That, let's assume for a moment, for our purposes, that an animal doesn't have a neshama, at least not the same kind of a neshama as a person. A Yiddish neshama, even a different type of a neshama. So we have to assume that whatever an animal can do doesn't require a neshama. Follow me on this one. It's my logic. Meaning, people say that the neshama, if you have a neshama, you don't have a neshama, yitzias ha-neshama, that's the difference between whether you're alive or whether you're dead. If I'm alive, I have a neshama. If I'm dead, I don't have a neshama. I don't think this is true. I think that being alive and not being alive or being dead is a function of the nefesh. Nefesh, ruach, neshama. There's the catch-all word, as Chaim says, which is nefesh. Whole thing is called nefesh. But if you want to get technical about it, which is what we're doing here, getting technical about it. So nefesh, ruach, neshama, alive, dead, nefesh. If that's what we mean by alive. Rishoyim b'chayim nikroyim mesim, even though the nefesh is, we're confined. So it's not about alive or dead. That's not what the neshama is. Animals are alive, kill it, animals are dead. That's possible. It's running. It's doing everything but talking. It may be, you know, it's surviving. It's hunting. It's doing everything. No neshama. So all those things that an animal could do are not yet the definition of our neshama. So people would say, well, it's the ability to have emotion. So emotion, like I can feel. I can hurt, I can have anah, pleasure, etc. Maybe that's the neshama. We're looking for the neshama.
Animals have emotion.
Consciousness.
You're getting too fancy for me. But that's ruach. That's ruach. Animals can feel. Animals can, you know, everybody's seen a puppy. look lost and look sad. Everyone have seen the animals in Beit Shemesh have pleasure. this is animal. This is still the nefesh, habahamis, and so everything that we consider to be alive is not yet. It seems to be is not yet the neshama. So if we're going by the process of elimination, what is left? That's the neshama. See, it's a very interesting thing. The let's say a person does mitzvahs and learns and does all the things you're supposed to do, chesed, tzedakah. It's still not the neshama, because you have to ask, why am I doing those things? You know, if a person is living in a area where, you know, like living in a neighborhood and in a culture where everything has to do with wealth, thank God that's not the culture here, but let's say everything has to do with wealth. So automatically you're going to want to do things to make you wealthy. If you're living in a culture where everything is all about physical fitness, automatically that's the culture of the place you're going to try. So if you're living in a culture like here, Baruch Hashem, like where everything has to do with who's a bigger gadol b'Torah, who does more mitzvahs and does more chesed, so automatically you could want to become wealthy in Torah and mitzvahs. So it's not the neshama. I'm sorry to be so harsh here, but that's not the neshama. That's chavrati. It's just precious. So the Gros says a part like this. He says that neshama is the ability to do something lishma. An animal can't do something lishma. An animal is hunting for food, not because it's a mitzvah to hunt for food. An animal is hunting for food because an animal is hungry. And an animal is performing, you know, is not performing because, hush mazach, like, you know, I want to perform. Right. Animal's performing because he's being trained to perform, and he wants to please something or another. Either himself, he's rewarded with some kind of a reward at the end, or he's, if it's a sophisticated animal, he's pleasing his master. Yeah, I heard this from my Rabbi Rav Scheinberg. He says, like, think about a horse and he who rides on the horse. So a horse is a horse, of course. Whether it has somebody riding on it or whether it doesn't have somebody riding on it, a horse is a horse. It could be a beautiful horse. It could be a good horse. But when it doesn't have somebody, what does the rider add? What does this rider add to the horse? It rides the idea of, okay, now there's some esoteric things going on here, ethereal. We have a goal. We need to. Let's say it's a horse which is used for war. So, like, the horse has the inability to decide whether it wants to be on the side of North Korea or South Korea. A horse is a horse. But those decisions of the deep decisions of what to do with this horse, those are made by the rider. They're not made by the horse itself. No horse is saying, I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. It's not a, you know, horses can't, animals. But so... So, like in a mashal, the neshama, it rides on the goof. And you find this mashal, by the way, in one form or another, all over Chazal. The neshama is riding on the goof. So the goof that's alive, the goof that's healthy, the body that's doesn't necessarily have a goal that it wants to get to. It's not doing something for the purpose of doing something. Now, the only thing, so the Goyin says like this, I just read the Gruh, reread this morning, we learned the Gruh this morning. The Gruh says in Koheles as follows, Ba Yisroel Tachas HaShemesh, is that the Pasuk? Yisroel or Yitaron? Ba Yisroel La'adam Tachas HaShemesh. Meaning, what does the Pasuk mean? What does Shlomo HaMelech mean? That, you know, whatever you do in this world, so what is it? You'll say you make $250 million, so you can't take it with you. You'll be, you know, solid rock. So what? You're going to die also. So maybe you do something for longevity, so instead of dying at 90, die at 92. But by Yisrael Adam Tachas HaShemesh. So the guide says the Tachas HaShemesh, there is no Yisrael to a person, but Lamala Bin HaShemesh. There is. And I brought the girl. Let me read it to you. My Yisrael Adam B'chol Amolai. Okay, let's get the passage right. B'chol Amolai Shiamol Tachas HaShemesh. It's lost in the Gra. In Barak HaShachar, which is the Gra on Koheles. Amr tachas HaShemesh ein loy. L'malo min HaShemesh yesh loy. He does have a benefit. V'hu k'mo shekosov ad sh'lo techshach HaShemesh zu ha'neshama shi me'ira la'odam b'chachma k'mo shekosov r'isi ha'nishi yesh Yisrael l'chachma min ha'sichlus ki Yisrael n'or min ha'choshev. V'zeh sh'omer tachas HaShemesh tachas ha'neshama sh'im nefesh v'ruach sh'ein tachtov ki yadua. Meaning, he's saying the Shemesh is the neshama. So you have neshama, nefesh, ruach, neshama. There's nothing you can do for your nefesh or for your ruach which is going to really matter for eternity. Nothing you can do. You'll get healthy. You'll get rich. You'll be happy. You'll be sad. It doesn't make any difference. On an eternal level, it's all about how you feel right now. How you feel until you die. Even things as beautiful as like love and feeling of accomplishment and all of those things are all not the neshama. Love. Love. Like that's already like as high as tachas. That's all tachas ha-shemesh. Ba'yisr ladam tachas ha-shemesh. So 1,000 years ago, George loved Betsy. Asma. There's nothing eternal. They're both rotting in their graves. There's nothing. Doesn't make any difference. It doesn't have anything eternal about it. Maybe some of it is eternal towards the children, towards the generations that come from it, but not to himself. It's not. Shekol amol sha'amol b'hal ein Yisrael. Listen to this, the Gra. Afilu ba'amol Torah or mitzvahs, even Torah, even mitzvahs, she'osa b'hem enoy klum. It doesn't really mean anything. Says Shlomo HaMelech. Reisi anis kol amol ves kol kishar namaisik hi kinas ish mirayeo gam zehev ol rus ruach. Unless, says the Gra, unless you do it lishma. So the lishma, person does something lishma, it puts one into a different realm, and all of a sudden there's eternity to what I'm doing. So again, what I'm saying is, if you're doing something because that's what the chevra is doing, so then it stops here. You have the ceiling, and that's as far as it goes. It's tachas ha-shemesh. If you do something lishma, that you've created an eternity, and it has a value which is lamala min hashemesh by using the neshama. V'chol ha'osek b'torah shelo lishma noyach lo shelo nivra. V'yadua sheyisrael ha'adam me'abehema. The only difference, and this is why I bring you this gra, the only difference between a person and a behema, which by the way the whole world is struggling. In other words, if you look at it from a biological point of view, you have squirrels, you have birds, you have lions, tigers, bears, people. A more sophisticated Bria has a bigger brain. That's all. A bigger brain. We have bigger brains, physically bigger brains. So that's, you can have an animal that has, an ape. An ape is almost a person. Yisrael ha'adam, says the Gra, me'abehema, bin neshama levad. The only difference between a person and a behema is the neshama. And if your whole life is all based around nefesh v'ruach, hu doima l'behema. So you see, let's say a few things. Let's just do a quick summary here because I think it's an important gra. I don't know if it's something we know. I don't know if we think about. Number one, and we're defining in the negative in a way. The whole difference between a person and an animal is that a person has a neshama, an animal does not. It's a difference, like I say, between a horse alone and a horse with a rider. A horse alone is better than a car because it's alive, but where is it going? Whose side is it on? It's not clear. That our work is, in fact, with the nefesh and with the ruach, but the idea is to bring it to a higher place. Everything that we do could be at a higher place, which is the place of ruach, of neshama. That nothing, this is what the Gra just said, I'm just reviewing the Gra, that there's nothing left from anything that we do unless we've done it with our neshama, because everything else just gets buried. And finally, if a person wants to test themselves and figure out if they're doing it, I'm doing something, right? I'm giving a shir now. We came to davening this morning. You do a chesed. You're a nice person. You smile at a person. You're makabalos adam sever panim yafes. If you want to do it, no, are you using your neshama or are you using your ruach? The only way to know is to know, the only way to test that is to find out, says the Gra, if you're doing it Lishma or not.
Changing something, that means you're going with your neshama. Because if you were to go with the flow, that is nefesh ruah. You're just following it. You're following the inertia. You're following the social norms. You're following.
You're surviving on a very sophisticated level.
Right, but once you're in the time frame, that means you're going against the flow. You're changing something.
Yeah,
so that
could be. If you take masaking very. Like, in other words, a person, I just want to get this very clear in my own mind. In other words, a person will read some kind of a book, how to win friends and influence people. Who wrote that? Dale Carnegie, right? Dating myself. He's not doing a lishma. The title of the book is Shaloi Lishma. The whole thing is like, I'll tell you what to do. The whole book is Shalei Lishma, how to win friends and influence people. Or let's say you want to, how to make a lot of money, how to be the envy, how to be a rock star, how to win friends and influence people, how to be successful. Okay, so all kinds of great, Gevaldik Eitzes, use a person's name a lot in conversation, talk about them, don't talk about you. They're all tricks of the nefesh and the ruach, of the nefesh and the ruach. It's sophisticated. As sophisticated as it might be, it's not lishma. When you're talking about Tikkun Amidos, the title of the book would change to how to improve yourself even if you don't want to win friends and influence people. it's a whole different story. So the Goyin says that the only way to know is like a siman. Not a siba, but a siman. The only way to know if you're being mishtamish bin neshama and not with the ruach under it or the nefesh under it, is if you're willing to do it lishma, even if you get absolutely nothing out of it. It's hard to know because a lot of times even the lishma that we do is shalai lishma. Yeah. That hagufa is difficult to know. How do we know we're learning lishma? Let's say a person is like, you're teaching a child and you're not getting paid for it. So you're doing a lishma, or you're doing it because you want people to say, look, he's learning with the child and he's not even getting paid for it. It's also shalei lishma. So it's very difficult. Lishma is a difficult thing. I'm not, by the way, I'm not a Baal Musar here. I'm not giving away, but I'm only saying that, as you go through the day, it's just something like here today. Let's just like that one day think about, like, what am I doing with my neshama and not just my nefesh ruach? What am I doing that an animal wouldn't do to survive if they knew how? So, animal knows how to go into a cornfield and take corn. We know how to buy bitcoins and and do stuff, to make money. We also know how to lose money, it goes together. But that's all nefesh ruach. What are we doing with our neshama? What are we doing with the neshama? So the neshama is like this rider on the goof. What I want to bring out more than anything else is that we shouldn't confuse the nefesh ruach and neshama, because I think everybody does. So what happens to a rasha, let's just go over this one more time, a rasha that completely is indulging his nefesh and his ruach and really is not looking at his neshama at all. So he's nikrai mason, that's the pshat in the Gemara. He's called a mace. He's a mace in the sense in a spiritual death. He's a mace in the sense that his neshama is, I might not be dead, but it's not with him. He had yetzias haneshama.
There's no driver on the horse.
There's no driver on his horse. Most people are not rishayim, but they're not tzaddikim either. So what that means is that we just don't know. I'll put myself anyways, in the category, not Rishayim, but like Beinonim, like, okay, I want to do the right thing, but the problem is it's very complicated and difficult to get in touch with the neshama. So if you're a Rasha, you completely divorced your neshama from the whole game here, from all of life. If you're a tzaddik, you don't even need life because your neshama is eternal and it keeps on going. My Yisrael la'adam v'chola molay tachas ha-shemesh v'lamala min ha-shemesh. When you're getting ha-shemesh means teva, right? When you're in this world, l'malam min ha-shemesh goes over and over, goes on and on and on. Still chayim. So tzaddikim afilu b'misosim nikroim chayim. But for us, the issue is not that we've killed our neshama or something. The issue is that we're probably not in touch with the neshama. And this is where the Goyin says that the only way to know whether you're in touch with your neshama or not, assuming that we're okay with our neshama is there, but the only way to figure out whether we're doing something lishma or we're not doing something lishma.
So far, though, everything that's above what an animal do, an Adam can do. It's not just to say lishma sounds like a bigger jump than what's different from an animal. A goy can do all.
I mean, there's places in between.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm saying, we're defining the point where an animal can't do something. Now we're above at the point of neshama. So B'nai Adam can all do that. Right? And I understand why we have to go to such a level of lashma.
In order to find out whether it's our neshama or not?
Yeah.
How else would you know? Neshama.
Well, we're saying there's a differentiation even within above what an animal can do.
I'm just saying, a person, like we have a expression, be miskaber on yourself. So who's being miskaber on what, where I am myself? If I decide to be miskaber, go against your grain, that's me, right? So no, neshama shenasata be. In other words, this is something, I don't think that a horse is miskaber on itself. Like, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't think so. Miskaber on herself and then tap into kochos, which are lamala min ateva, this is a neshama thing to do. So I'm agreeing with you, but a conscious. I don't think a horse has a conscious. Whenever a person, a sensitive person, a person who still has their neshama, whenever you do something which is not MS, so your conscience bothers you afterwards. It's not MS. Whether you lied, whether you stealed, whether you just did something which was not integrity, which wasn't wholesome, well, you did something which wasn't MS. So that's we have a conscience. Does an animal have a conscience? Did something wrong? It feels bad. I don't know. It's hard to know. I'm not an animal psychologist, but I think what a matzpun is, at least Lufi Chazal, what a conscience is that my nefesh and my ruach just violated my neshama. You know, just clashed. My nefesh and my ruach just clashed with my neshama. So this is a so I feel bad. I can do tshuva. An animal do tshuva, but the reason why I'm saying that it's the neshama is anything that an animal plus is because that's the defining. That's you take Gan Eden, like Hashem created before he even created Adam, he created animals and trees and you know everything was running around Gan Eden. But you don't find by any of those bruim by yipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim. So there were kangaroos jumping around in Gan Eden, maybe, but they didn't have a neshama. A yipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim. That was only Adam had a neshama.
Could you say, I heard it said before, right? The ability to say no. If an animal does things by instinct, it has to, if it needs something, it'll do it. It can't say no. Whereas a human, a neshama can say no.
Sounds good, but I have to think if that's... sometimes the ability to say yes, you know. Looking for $100,000 for our building here. So let's say it like this. Bechira chafshis is a function of the neshama. See, let me explain to you why this is so complicated. It's complicated because of this Gemara. The Gemara says, Ma kodesh baruch hu roye ve'enoy nira, Kacha neshama roya ve'enoi nira. Means you can't see this neshama. Not only it won't show up on an X-ray, but it's very difficult to find. Ma kodesh baruch hu yoshev v'chedrei chadarim, whatever that means. Af haneshama yoshev yoshevus v'chedrei chadarim, the Gemara says. So that the very nature of the neshama is that it's invisible. At the same time, ma kodesh baruch hu malei kol ha'olam kulay, af haneshama So here's an invisible force within us, completely invisible, something you can't put your finger on, and you can't go like this, and you can't go like this, but it's something which is leis machshav v'tzvisabei, but on the other hand, leis asar panui minei. In that sense, it's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So once it's leis asar panui minei, but we can't, so the difference is between a person who's utilizing their neshama, connected to the neshama, not connected to the neshama, it's a completely different type of person. A person who's hooked up to their neshama and hooked up to eternity, as we've been learning in the previous parakim over here, is hooked up to eternity. It's a completely different person. This is a person with a goal. This is a person who has bechira. This is a person who has a conscience. All the things that are human. So what did you ask? Let's go look at that again.
I was just saying that if we're defining it as something that point above what the nefesh and the ruach are, above an animal, so then there seems to be various levels within that. Lashma sounds already another
like
level.
Like what? Give me one.
That a level of conscience, a level of...
That's true, but that's just more... a bigger brain. In other words, that's more sophisticated than you could do it in a more sophisticated way than we could do business. An animal can't do business.
The reason why I'm asking this is more because of a goy. A b'nei Adam is somebody who has, is
some
not an animal.
Neshama, right.
Now, there's all kinds of b'nei Adam being b'nei Adam, but aren't lashma. So what are they? They're neshamas, but they're not neshama. So I'm just saying, there seems to be a stira.
No, so they have a neshama, but they're not using the neshama. I'm saying they have a neshama.
But aren't they doing something?
Vayipach of nishmas chayim. Every human being l'chayru had a neshama blown into them. I think the Arizal says that somewhere around the Dora Mabel and the Dora Palaga, so they lost their neshama. But let's even say they have a neshama. I don't know, that's a chiddush. Let's even say they have a neshama, but that's not our point. Our point is, how do we know? Here's the thing, that on a day-to-day basis, we have a chiyuv to use our neshama. Every morning we wake up and we say, Elikai, neshama shenasata bi tahiri, ata barasa, ata yitzarta, ata nefachta bi, ata meshamar bikirvi, ata asalit lo mimani, lachzira bi lo asalavai. So then we say, it's vila, kol zman cha neshama bikirvi, moidani lefanecha, I'm going to use my neshama. And that's our hakdama to tefillah. So it means to say, this is like a bechiyuv, like you're saying, like it's not good enough to wake up at the morning. I'm going to daven. I'm going to put on tefillin. I'm going to give tzedakah. I'm going to do chesed. I'm going to learn Torah. That's all fine. But the lishma, am I utilizing my neshama? New question. I saw that. Here's another grog. This comes to mind that when a person comes to shemayim, so the first question I think that he's asked is nasata v'nasata, one with the sin, one with the sof, nasata v'nasata be'emuna. So the Gaon says one word be'emuna zu neshama. Did you utilize, you could be doing business all day long. It's not about doing Torah mitzvahs, everything. But did you do it lishma? So again, I'm saying a person doing Torah mitzvahs, acting like a nice person, you're a societal animal. That's all. It's just doing it shalai lishma, noach lishalai nivra. It's very harsh. But in other words, if we're to be able to ask ourselves this question, are we doing everything that we're doing for societal reasons, for society pressure, or are we doing it because Hashem wants us to do it? Lishma. Mm-hmm. The only reason I'm doing it. What?
I'm just having trouble understanding this question.
Me too.
I'm having trouble internalizing it. It would mean that, if somebody wants to get up and go to Daf Yomi every morning, he's excited to do it. Right? He's really mamish, the alarm goes off and boom, he goes, right? Does that mean he's doing it with Shema because he's enjoying it?
Absolutely not.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think no. Or if he's laying there and he's like, I really don't want to do this. I don't feel like doing it. But he does it every, in other words, every day of his life he doesn't feel like doing it. But he's doing it because he says to himself intellectually, well, it's a mitzvah to go and do it every day, so I'm going to do it. He doesn't fall asleep. He goes and he does it. Right? But he doesn't really get a geschmack out of it.
I heard something so startling.
Really
Rav Freifeld, all of a shalom. It was Rav Shiva, Rav Freifeld, Cher Yoshev. So when his Rebbetzin died, first Rebbetzin died, he was married twice. His first Rebbetzin died, and I happened to be when he spoke at her Shloshim. Listen to what he said. I can only paraphrase. I can't remember exactly what he said. He was up in Tosha, you know. He said he realized after his wife died that he was laying in bed in the morning, needing to get up and go to davening, and he wasn't doing it. And he realized Lamafreya for the last 30, 40 years, really the only reason he was getting up is because it made his wife happy. Wow. So, you know, he says, I realized, Eretat of Lishma, who, Baruch Hashem, everybody here, we get up in the morning, go to davening, listen to that. But the question is, like, what if really nobody would notice? You know, what if it's your really Bechedri Chadarim? Do we get up and go to davening, or do we not? And what if it just doesn't even make me feel good? Like you say, Shmuel, like I'm excited, I'm listening. So, like, Lishma is a very difficult thing. But I just want to say, I want to say one thing in closing this time. So, like, something occurred to me maybe in the last few weeks. There's a great question it's just such a simple thing. It took me 62 years to figure out. There's a great question we can ask ourselves multiple times a day. And that is, why? Three letters, W-H-Y, why? Like, it's so profound to stop, you know, I'm going to davening, to stop for 1 second and say to myself, you know, why? I'm giving tzedakah. Why? I'm doing business. Why? Now, first of all, you know, if you happen to stop to think as to why you're doing something, then the whole rope goes out of it and you do it a lot better. Even if it's the wrong reason, you can do it a lot better. Like, why is like a really good question. But the other thing is that, it's good for people in business, you know, to remind themselves every once in a while, like, why am I doing what I'm doing? And it gives meaning to the thing, and that becomes my mission statement instead of, you know, to make money. But so the why is like a really good, if I was a business coach, I would say, don't take me in that capacity, but if I was a business coach, I would tell people, ask yourselves multiple times a day, why? But then there's something so much deeper as a neshama d'kiyid. Like, why? I mean, a very simple thing, just to ask yourself. What does it mean to ask yourself? This is my nefesh and my ruach asking, is my neshama involved? That's all that is. Is my neshama involved? Why? Am I doing this self called self? And I think we'll be surprised by the answer. I think there's a lot more lishma than we realize in what we do. And there's a lot more shaloi lishma than we realize. Like, as Rabbi Freifeld said, I'm sure he was lishma, he was just saying that. But, you know, all of a sudden he's getting up lishma. All of a sudden he's getting up lishma. So
one of the decision at the beginning, the reason why you're doing it is because it's lishma. And then you go on autopilot. So each day you're doing it, it's because of the decision you made back then.
So maybe that's lishma. Maybe it's not the highest madriga of lishma, though. Or is lishma is to, you know, so if you're like a mekubel or a chassid, so you're before... If every bit's of l'shem yichud kuchabrichu, you're reminding yourself as to all those fancy words are why. I started thinking about this because I was thinking about the sphere, so that's why I was thinking about it. Like, should we say l'shem yichud? Should we not say? Should I put it in my app? Should I not put it in my app? But what I realized is that I could just replace the whole thing by just putting in the word why. Mm-hmm. Just why, you know.
When Chazal tell us the only asa God in the Torah shel l'shem yichud l'shem yigod l'shem. It seems like they're giving us an etzah to avoid trying to figure out if it's a Shema or not, because if we use Torah, then it's like an automatic stepping stone.
I don't understand it that way. The way I understand that Gemara is, should I live in a place which is full of Torah and Yerushalayim, given extenuating circumstances, normally, like, should I live in a place which is full of Torah? And the chevra is going to sort of push me, the culture is such that I'm going to go to Daven, I'm going to go to Daf Yomi, I'm going to learn. Or should I live in a place which is void of all that, and you'll sing. So the Gemara says an Eitzah, look, go for the Shaloi Lishma, go for the union of Chevrati. Because at least when you're there, you have a possibility of at some point having the epiphany of connecting with your neshama. Onto itself, by the way, it's just so important. I mean, there's a lot to say about this, but just so important to say this, that the Gemara says you should be osig b'tayra v'yir shtayra u'mitzvah, shaloi lishma, for only one reason. Should be tayra shaloi lishma b'alishma. Mashma, from the Gemara, that there's no mila at all to a shaloi lishma. On the contrary, there's nothing. You've done nothing. You're a monkey. Meiser koif ba'alma. It's scary, no? Like, we don't want to be there. A person can go to davening every day. You can give tzedakah every day. You can do chesed every day. But if it's not with the neshama, it's nothing. The only reason to do it is b'tayk shaloi lishma ba'lishma. So we've decided in our minds, like, oh, lishma, that's for big tzaddikim, and who's going to do things lishma? We'll do it in Shaloi Lishma. It's a mistake, because if we're not going to become tzaddikim like that, if we're not going to go from Shaloi Lishma to Bo Lishma, then don't bother. I don't want to lower anybody's matrik. I just want to raise it. But we need to understand, as mature adults learning Nefesh HaChayim, you know, there's a level of sophistication here, that there is no baila in Shaloi Lishma except that it's getting me in the mood. That's all. It's creating some kind of an external pressure on me, so that way I'll do the right thing eventually. But if you don't do the right thing eventually, then you've never done anything. Why, says the Gra? Because my Yisrael law de b'chol amalei tachas hashamesh. Because what did you do? All you did was indulge the nefesh and the ruach. You haven't done anything at all with the neshama. And the neshama is sof kol sof the eternal part. L'malo min hashamesh. That's the eternal part. So what we want to do is we want to activate and connect with the eternal part of us. And that's the neshama. So this is just the introduction to Perek Hei, because Perek Hei is talking about the neshama and how to use it and what does it mean to be Mevarech Es Hashem. But just a little bit of a glimpse into the neshama gufa.
Interesting.